Thursday, the 1st of November, Abba Eliezer Harmer, Eliezer Struggle for Freedom.
I must tell you, as a teenager, I was always a little bit uncomfortable with the concept of slavery. An idealistic teenager, you start to think about the world, you start to think about your religion, and the concept of an Eved Kanani. The mitzvah says, "Say the olam behem tavodu, that you should enslave them forever." It's nachalchem the son of Nechem achreichem the reshes achuzah the olam behem tavodu. Not supposed to emancipate them, should enslave them. It never really sat well with me. I was always a little bit uncomfortable about it. This week's parasha, we have the parasha of Eliezer, who was an Eved Kanani, who was yotze michal arlech al baruch. He became free. I'd like to speak a little bit about this concept, this idea of Eved Kanani. Why should he be enslaved? Secondly, to understand in general about Canaan, we know that Canaan is depicted, is portrayed by the Torah in a very negative light. Understand a little bit about what Canaan really represents. Thirdly, where does this come from? What are the roots of Canaan? Another question we know. Even though we said there is a mitzvah Lailam ben Tavaydu to always enslave the Eved Kanani, nonetheless he goes free to shame the iron. Shame the iron, if the master pokes out his eye or his tooth, that is the classical way of how the Eved Kanani goes free. Again, the question, why specifically shame the iron more than anything else? Specifically in this week's parasha, as we mentioned, Eliezer went free. Even though he was an Eved Kanani, nonetheless Eliezer became a free man. So what exactly was the way, what was the tahlich, what was the procedure of how Eliezer became free? Another question, the Shlom makes the Ha'ara, very very interesting Ha'ara, speaking about Canaan. We know that the Canaanim lived in Eretz Canaan, obviously, until the times of Yeshua. The Shlom makes the Har and says that it's very interesting to note that we never ever find the word, the term Eretz Yisrael in Tanakh. Even after the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, it's still referred to as Eretz Canaan. Seems a very strange thing. We understand prior to the Jewish people coming that it was called Eretz Canaan, but once they arrived, once they got there, it's our land, Eretz Yisrael should be called. And the first time we find the name Eretz Yisrael is in the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos speak about Eretz Yisrael, different Kedushas. Eretz Yisrael has got a greater Kedusha, but in the Torah it's always Hashem says he's taking us to Eretz Canaan. And last, not least, is how does all this relate to us? The story with Eliezer, the story of what Canaan was, nowadays the whole concept of an Eved Kanani doesn't apply. We shouldn't tell us it only applies to Zman Shayevel Meg, when there's Yevel. But what is all this, how does this apply to us? So just to repeat very quickly, the 7 points that we'd like to try and discuss. First of all, why is there this mitzvah to enslave Canaan forever? They're never supposed to emancipate them. They should always remain a slave. In what way? How does the Torah portray Canaan? What are the roots of Canaan? How did it all start? Why specifically shame the iron? That is the way how it ever becomes free. How did Eliezer specifically become free? The horror of the Shlav of Eretz Canaan, and how it relates to us. We know, Chazal tell us, Rashi brings in Parshas Achrimos, in the name of the Teres Kainim, the following. How do we know? There was no other nation that portrayed, that they symbolized such a lowliness, such a low character, such an immoral nature, they would do abominations more than the nation of Canaan. How do we know that? Talmud Leimu, Hamas Eretz Canaan, Loisas. Hashem is telling us, you're going to this nation, these types of acts I don't want you to do. Chazal tells us very clearly that they were the lowest of the low. Pasuk of Knan Biodim Ozne Mirmo, that Knan represents Mirmo, that represents trickery and deceit. They represent Gezel, they represent Znus. All of the Midas Ra'is that we find, the main Midas Ra'is that we find by Knan. That is who Knan is. So much so that even though Eliezer Eved Avram, we know that Eliezer was an incredible human being. Eliezer, Chazal tell us, he was Delo Mashke Mitirasi Shorabbi, which means that he was the one, the Shem Yishmol explains, he was the one who had the capability to bring down the Torah of Avram Avinu to the layman, to the world, to make it accessible, to make it understood. The Torah of Avram was so great, was so high, how is the layman going to be able to access that? How is the layman going to have any type of relationship and kesher to Avram? So Eliezer, he was the Dodo Mashka, just like a dhuri, just like a bucket, the way that you access the Mayim. So to Eliezer, he was the one who was able to bring down the Torah of Avram and package it, so to speak, and make it accessible. And so too, he was able to actually raise the people up to the level where they were capable of having a relationship with Avram. So he was the mamutza, he was the medium, he was the vehicle by which all of the Torah of Avram was disseminated through Eliezer. We know that Chazal tell us that the cholester ponim of Eliezer was Bimel Avram, the face, the shine of Eliezer. He looked similar to Avram. So much so that when Eliezer went to the house of Lavan and Besuel, they said, Avram Avinu is here. He is Avram. He looked exactly like Avram. He had such a splendor, such a hadris upon him. And Chazal and Mishabeach, they praise Eliezer that when he got to the house of Lavan and Besuel, and they were giving him such honor, Eved Avram Aneichi. Eshtazach says, you should know, I'm not Avram, I am an Eved. But he looked, and we know that when a person has a hadris upon him, when a person has got some type of shine to them, it's because that is a representation, that is the manifestation of their high level in Ruchnius. Shem Yishmol also says in one place that how is it that Yehoiada's son and his Nosei Kelim were able to defeat an entire army of Palishtim? How is it possible? It just doesn't make any sense. He says because of the Tzelem Elokim which they had, the Hadras Panim which they had, was so powerful, was so potent, that people saw them and they ran away. So he had this cholester ponim similar to Avram, clearly an indication of his level in Ruchnius. Chazal tell us, Farshim tell us also, that Eliezer was the single person, was the only person who Avram Avinu trusted to go and find the Shidduch, a Yitzchak. He was really the only man. Avram Avinu couldn't go himself, he was too old. Yitzchak couldn't leave if he wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Eliezer was the one person that he trusted. Maral says that through Eliezer we can realize and we can understand the greatness of Avram. Eliezer was so great, was so incredible. Can you imagine how great Avram was? It says both ways. It says from the greatness of Avram we can understand how great Eliezer was, because usually these things are commensurate with the Adin, so to the Eved. But he says also that, and through Eliezer, it's Nishma, the godless of Avram. Here you have a human being who has reached, one could say, as high as one can go. And nonetheless, Eliezer has a daughter, he wants to marry off his daughter, the Yitzchak, and Avram Avinu says, you're Arur, you're a cursed man, you're cursed, and we're Baruch, and Ein Arum is Dalek B'Baruch, and we're not going to make a Shidduch. Notwithstanding all the greatness of who Eliezer was, what he's achieved in his life, and so on, Avraham Avinu said, you're a cursed nation. You represent Arur. This is what the nation of Canaan was. Now, alas, we ask, where does all this come from? It's such, so firmly rooted, so deeply rooted, to the extent that notwithstanding all of these milas, all these wonderful traits which he had, Avraham Avinu said, nothing doing. There's several ways to understand the sheirish of this kilkul, of this hashkasa, but the Hirsch and Pashas Nayach beautiful, beautiful piece. Really sheds a tremendous amount of light to all of these questions and the whole sugya. Hirsch, as he always does, makes many dukim in the parasha and points out many, many revealing factors about what happened and the roots of Canaan and why they are a nation which is Arur. We know it goes back to the episode, the story with Noach, when Noach became drunk, and it says that Cham went in, Vayar Cham Adi Canaan, and so on, and he went in. Chazal tell us in discussion exactly what Cham did. Did he do it? Did Canaan do it? Discussion exactly who did whatever was done, which is also a discussion. And he went out, and he told his brothers, and so on. And Rav Hirsch points out the following. It says, first of all, if we look at the pasuk, it says, Vayiskal b'seich ahaloi. It says, the Noach became revealed in his tent. And the first says, look at the word, it says, it's actually written, the ksiv is ahala, her tent. He says, what happened was, that Noach realized what had happened to him. And the Farshim pointed out, the whole thing was a miracle. When you planted a vineyard, usually it's years before a person can actually reap the crops, the fruits, and it was a miraculous Seder HaDvarim chain of events. It went so quickly, and he was able to immediately go and reap the benefits and to taste the fruits, and he had too much, and he realized the effect of the wine, and he was embarrassed, and he didn't want anyone to realize and see him in his disgraceful state. So he thought to himself, what's the one place that I can go that they won't find them? The one place that I can go that they'll have a little bit of derech eretz, not to go and not to chase after me, I'll go to the Isle of the Noshim, the lady's tent. They went to Allah, they went to her tent. And Shem and Yefis, they had great awe and respect, covered in year for their father, even though perhaps they were looking for their father. But you don't go into the lady's tent. And if he's there, clearly he doesn't want to be disturbed. And Bayar Cham, it says that he went after his eyes. And the fact that there must be something very exciting going on over here, the fact that my father decided to go into some quiet place, not to be disturbed, not to be revealed, it means nothing to me. Because this is clearly something very enticing, something very interesting, and I'd like to see what's going on. And the father says, Bayar Cham Avi Canaan. Again, says Rav Hirsch, what does this story say? Avid Kanan. It's coming to stress. It's coming to point out that at this stage, he already had children. He already had children. And a father should be that much, should have the sensitivity to his own father once he has his own children. He should realize, you're a father. What does it mean if a father is disgraced and embarrassed in the eyes of his children? How terrible that is, how embarrassing that is. And you yourself, you're already a father. And now you're going and you're willing to see your father in a state of disgrace. Vayar Cham Avi Canaan. Father of Canaan. It didn't mean anything to him. And it says, Vayagev L'Shneyachav Bachutz. And again, says the verse, we know there's a difference between the word Vosaper, Vayomer, and Vayagev. The word Vayagev means Miloshen Hagodah, which means to be marich, to say a lot, to develop, to embellish, to say it with all the vivid details. So he didn't just go out and state the facts, but Mayage, he thought that his brothers would be delighted to hear his portrayal of the story of exactly what happened. Went and he said it. And the Rabban says, not only did he say it to his brothers, he says that he said it in front of the Rabban. He said it in public. He said it in front of everyone. Perhaps that's what it means. Vayagav l'shneyachav b'chutz. He said it b'chutz. He said it outside, overtly in public. Notwithstanding, besides what Chazal actually said he did to his father while he was inside the tent, says Rav Hirsch, this was the stage when Cham or Canaan, based on different opinions in the Medrash, this is when they showed their true colors. This is when they showed, we are a person, we are a nation, that we are Shayach Ka'avis. And the verse says that someone who doesn't have the capacity, someone who doesn't have the capability to be in control of themselves, they don't have the right to be autonomous. They cannot be left to have freedom. They have to be subjugated. It's impossible for a person who will just simply go after their eyes, will go after their tithes, will say what they want and totally disregard anything, all of the basic social norms and any good mida and morality, such a person cannot be left to their own accord. And Sfasemis says the same thing. Sfasemis says, "Uvavadei noach notanli b'ze eitzo." When Noach said, "Arer, your accursed nation," he wasn't just merely cursing him; he was giving him an eitzo. Eich sheyetzi michal ha'arer al yidei ze ha'avdus. The way, the only way that you can remain in check is if you remain a slave. He saw and he realized that here is a human being and ultimately a nation that they can't be by themselves. The concept of curse is something which is synonymous with this individual. They have it, they're so intimately attached with horror. But not in Eitzah, he said, "I'm giving you an Eitzah. You, your tikkun is to be an Eved." And ultimately, through by you becoming an Eved to Klal Yisrael, to someone who is the Pchinat Baruch, that is the way that ultimately you will be able to have some type of tikkun. Says, "Im haya Kanan ben Chayrin, if Kanan would become a free man, haya machri for olam aribisha or a dovek boy, he would literally go and destroy the world." And he goes on to say, perhaps that chat in the Gemara in the first part of Gittin, the big discussion, is it a schus, or is it a chayva, is it a positive thing or a negative thing for an Eved to go free? The discussion in the Gemara, the Gemara speaks and says the reason why it's not considered a good thing for the Eved to go free is because, let's say he's the Eved of a Kayan, he can eat truma. Big discussion back and forth, is it a schus, is it a chayva? Says the Sfasemis, this is one of the reasons why there's an opinion in the Gemara that it's a chayv, it's detrimental for the Eved to go free. For this reason, you have this table life. The Mishnah Kanim, the Balei Atesis, they also say a similar idea. They say, they ask a question, "Mar rola kal David, why is it the Noach Punk decided that he should become an Eved? Maybe give him some other type of punishment. Maybe cut him out of your will. Well, why did he become an Eved necessarily?" The Pasuk says, a son can respect and honor his father. An Eved, his master. Says the Mishnah Kanim, if you are capable of having a relationship with a father, something which is a little bit more subtle, understanding and appreciating the concept of comfort, of dignity, of respect, of hierarchy, mutav, that's fine, that's wonderful. If not, if you are incapable of understanding these basic tenets, then you should no longer be left to be your own person. And this is what he showed in this act. The most basic tenets of morality, kavod habrias, kibud av, busha barabim, arayas, just trust, guys. So the most basic things which a person needs to be a respectable human being, he showed that he's incapable of adhering to any of these things. Hence the obvious. So needless to say, if Eliezer Eved Avram somehow was shayach to all of that baggage, that was something which was part and parcel of Eliezer's spiritual DNA. That was who he was. But understand that Avram is saying, "You are Arur. The Ein Arur is Davik B'Baruch." And the only way that Eliezer can become a free man is somehow if he goes so far and wages such a battle against what Canaan is and what Canaan represents. That's the only way that he's ultimately going to be able to go free. And this is what happened. This is exactly what happened. We know, Chazal tell us, that Eliezer, like we mentioned, Eliezer had his own daughter, and clearly she was someone who he felt was Ru'uya Lizdavig B'Yitzchak. She was someone who was capable for her to be a Shidduch B'Yitzchak. And Eliezer is going, and he knows I'm the only man who Avraham Avinu trusts, and I'm the only man who can really pull off the shidduch, so to speak. And I could go half-heartedly, I could go to the Yetzer Zayin, I could go and I could try, but I don't necessarily have to put all of my effort into it. Says that Eliezer went, and immediately he was aware of his negiyus, and he was aware of who he is, and where his netiyus lie, where he's spiritually inclined to be, the common being that he's from Canaan. And the Pasuk says, Vayoma, the Yidam, at the beginning, Vayoma, Hashem Elokei Adeni Avram, Hakrino Lefana Hayom, Asei Chesed Adeni Avram. I think that this is the reason why there's a shalshelis on the word Vayoma, because a shalshelis, the Mepharshim say, indicates the struggle. He had a terrible struggle. I have a chance to be mizdavig with the base Avram, that I can be a mechutzen to Avram. So I can go and I can try and find, and if it doesn't work out, I can come back and say there's nothing doing by your mishpacha, and you know that I have a daughter who's eligible. It was such a difficult test. As far as promoting his own gain, his own needs, whatever was good for him, it was easy that he should just go half-heartedly. He went with a terrible struggle, and he was mispalo. He davened for special siyata d'shmaya, Hashem Elokei Adeni Avram, do chesed with my master Avram. He was mevatel himself. He made himself null and void, totally to his Adin, totally to his master. And he negated any type of self-interest, anything which he stood to gain, he did for the sake of his master Avram. That is how it was Yotzei Michal Arav Chal Baruch. And the first, I'm bringing the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, that when it says that he was Yotzei Michal Arav Chal Baruch, so the Mepharshim say that it doesn't say Vayeim Lavan. It doesn't say that Lavan said that Boi Baruch Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says that a malach came down. It says Vayomer Boi Baruch Hashem. A malach came down, and after seeing that Eliezer acted in such a selfless manner, a malach came down and said, Boi Baruch Hashem, you are now someone who is shayach to bracha. You have shown that you are not the aura of Canaan is something which does not apply to you. Comes as no surprise, and the Farshim tell us that Sefer Bereshit says that ultimately, well, after Eliezer was long gone, he was misgalgal in who? In Kolod ben Yefuna. It says by Kolod that when he went, he was part of the Meraglim, says that he went, Vayavi ad Chevron. The Farshim say, Kolod, who was the Gilgal of Eliezer Eved Avram, he went to the place where his master lied. He went to the Kever of Avram. He had such a kasher to Avram, he was mevatel himself, he nullified himself so much. So again, he was going to ask the special siyata d'shmaya that Avram Avinu should help him. And Rei Sof has got all different types of wonderful gematrias. The Yobet Chevron, the gematria Eliezer after Avram, many, many gematrias over there to show that this is Eliezer over here. He's going back to Avram again. Kolei ben Yefuna had a very difficult test. They didn't have the special tefillah that Yeshua had of Kol Hashiach and Yatzis Meraglim. He was there by himself to a certain extent, and he was aware. In theory, it'd be easy to go along with the crowd, to go along with everyone. And I have to do what's right. I have to do something which is not necessarily going to be good for me. It could be that I'm going to ostracize myself by doing that. So he went at Hebron, and he went to the place of Avram, and he davened to Siyata d'Shmaya. We ask, why is this an Eved Kanani, and Yotze B'Shem V'Ayin? So again, the Moshe is Kanan, and he gives us a little bit of an understanding. He says, why is it that he goes out with shame the ayin more than other limbs? He says, "Ha'ayin shiroa sa erva v'alechisa, the eye which saw his father's erva v'alechisa, and he didn't cover it up. Hashem kolimer hateh. What does it mean? Hashem, it means the peh, the mouth. Shehalach lahagir lecha v'hu ba'atzmi lechisa mekal v'shame the ayin." In essence, what he's saying is that he used his shein and his, he used his pan, he used his enayim improperly, he wasn't able to control, and he went after the enayim, and he went after whatever comes out of his mouth. So, in a sense, his mouth and his eyes, they need to be under lock and key. If his eye gets knocked out, if his tooth gets knocked out, perhaps that's a permanent reminder to the Eved Remember who you were. Remember where you come from. You were an Eved Kenani. And really your eyes and your mouth is Meshuvah to me, to the Master. The Master pokes out his eye, he pokes out his tooth. So then the Eved, he's got a perpetual reminder of, you know, be humble. Remember your humble beginnings. Remember why you became an Eved in the first place. We ask the Har of the Shlach. The Shlach says, always called Eretz Canaan. It's a strange thing, called Eretz Yisrael already. He said, no. He says that the word Canaan is also taken from the word Nichna, to be humble. And he says, ultimately, that is what Eretz Yisrael really is supposed to represent. That's ultimately the tikkun for the Canaanim, like we said. The only way that he can find any type of a tikkun is to the extent that he's machnia himself, that he humbles himself, he becomes an Eved. So Canaan, someone who has that spiritual DNA, like we said, he literally needs to be an Eved. But he says the school of Eretz Yisrael is that it's Eretz Canaan. It's a place when a person who goes to live in Eretz Canaan, they have the ability, it's that much easier for them to realize the Yad Hashem and to be nichna, to humble themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal already in the beginning of Bereishis, they say, why is the Eretz Yisrael called Eretz? Lama Nikrishma Eretz. But Neshi Yirotza Lassi Sretzen Avi Yeshiva Shemayim. Eretz Yisrael is a land which, in theory, it's Mesugal, it goes, it runs to do the Ratzon Hashem. There's the Shlo person, when he goes into Eretz Yisrael, he has to remember, this is a land which represents Hachno, this is the land of Canaan. And just to finish off, we ask, how is this Negev to us? What do we take out of this? Hashem says, just like Eliezer Eved Avram, he had this test of being Yotza, Michal Aru, Michal Boros. So the Hashem says to every single person, the whole door of Adar, Klav Dafke Eliezer Eved Avram, and it's not Tali and Yovel and so on. Every single person in their life, based in Prati, has sometimes different skupas, Shveret skupas, where sometimes the person feels that things aren't going my way. The person feels that, you know, I am now chasur shalom b'pchinas aror, things aren't done. There's a spas amus. To the extent that every single person is machnia themselves, and they go against what's right for themselves, laman Hashem, laman being a person who's ne'eman, to be an erlich yid, to do what's right, to be an ish ne'eman, to be an eved Hashem. To the extent that the spas amus, that a person is able to humble themselves and be nichna for the right reasons, they themselves will also be devoted to a Yeshua, to be Yotzei Mechal Aruch HaBaruch.